Yasoda na na na, brother na 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 na, Yasoda. Ramuna ti Ramana sad, Ramuna ti Raya Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Advaita Gadadhar, Shoshani Gaur Bhakti Vrindika Jai, P.C. Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopi Dasham, Kunda Radha Kuti Giri Kuridhan Ki Jai, Shivandavan Dham Ki Jai, Nabatap Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Shimona Tosi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindika Jai, Samadatta Bhakti Vrindika Jai, Go Priminan. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Vinamane. Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatadesha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 84 verse. Namastasmai Bhagavate Krishnaya Kuntametase The Yoga Maya Yachana Mohime Paramatmane. Obeisances, asmai, to him, Bhagavate, Supreme Lord, Krishnaya, Krishna, Akunta, unrestricted, Amedase, whose wisdom, Swa, his own, Yoga Mayaya, by the internal illusory potency, Achanna, covered, Mahimne,
whose glory?
Paramatmane,
Paramatmane,
the Super Soul.
The Super Soul.
Translation: let us offer obeisances unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the infinitely intelligent Super Soul, who has disguised his greatness through his mystic yoga maya. Apart from any future profit to be obtained from worshipping the Supreme Lord, it is every person's most essential obligation to bow down to him as an acknowledgement of one's dependence and servitude. Lord Krishna recommends Manmana Bhavad Madbhakto Madhya Jimam Namaskuru Mame Vaisyasi Yuktvai Vama Anamat Parayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So here the sages offer respects to the Supreme Lord Krishna, and they address him as Bhagavan Krishna. So very clearly they recognize his special position. Of course, sometimes the word Bhagavan is used out of respect even for jivas, but in general we use the name for Supreme Lord. And this has a particular connotation for the Gaudiya Sampradaya. For many people, it doesn't mean Supreme Lord, whatever. But was actually, there's a little bit of a distinction here, because we have in the Bhagavatam also a description of the Lord as Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. So he has three distinct aspects. His most impersonal aspect, his personal aspect, but not too much detail and devotion there. And then Bhagavan, where there is full details and devotion to the Lord. So of these three, we consider the Bhagavan aspect to be supreme. And generally the Paramatma is a Vishnu form. And though Vishnu resides in Vaikuntha and has his pastimes with his devotees there, and he looks the same as the Paramatma who is in charge of the material world as Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, same form, but the function is limited in the material world to managing the creation of the material world, and not much personal relationship with the Lord. So he functions to manifest, maintain, and destroy the material world, whereas Vishnu in Vaikuntha doesn't manage affairs of the universe. He's simply having pastimes with Lakshmi and his devotees there. So in that sense we call the Vishnu in Vaikuntha Bhagavan, and the form who simply carries out the material creation as the Paramatma feature, even though the same form, but function is different, and then the manifestation of qualities is different. So Bhagavan is considered to be higher because one develops a personal relationship with the Lord and realizes higher bliss ultimately by having a personal relationship with the Lord. And of course, even among the forms of Bhagavan, we have Vishnu forms and then different avatar forms, and we get Narasimha, we get Rama, and we get Krishna. So we get various forms of Bhagavan, even though it's only one Bhagavan, and even Paramatma is only one with Bhagavan. They're not different. Still, qualities of manifested are of different degrees. So Paramatma, not much personal aspect. Bhagavan, personal qualities manifest. But when we get the different forms of Bhagavan, then we see that Krishna manifests significantly more qualities, particularly qualities of sweetness. So therefore, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna is singled out, and he's called Bhagavan Swayam. Of course, they're all Bhagavan, but he is the very essence of Bhagavan because he manifests some particular qualities that the others do not. So he's put in a special category. The sages here recognize Krishna as Bhagavan,
as he's not a material entity. He may appear to be a material entity because he acts like a devotee and whatever in the material world. But they recognize his position as Supreme Lord, and not only as Paramatma, but as Bhagavan. So they go so far as to recognize that he is Supreme Lord. At the same time, they mention here he is Paramatma, Paramatmane. So they offer respects to him as Paramatma as well. So they recognize that he does have powers as well, and simultaneously he is Paramatma as well as being Bhagavan. So he's not different, in other words. So whatever powers we find in Purodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, or Karnodakshaya Vishnu, all those powers are also in Krishna. In the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami defines the qualities of Krishna. He mentions all 64 qualities, but then he says 50 qualities can be manifested in jivas to a small degree. And then 55 qualities can be manifested in Shiva and sometimes other devatas. And then 5 extra qualities, 60 qualities that makes it, is, are manifested in Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. And of course, Paramatma forms as well. So among those qualities is that from the form of Vishnu, we get the manifestation of all the different universes. And another is that all the avatars manifest from that Supreme Lord. So Shiva does not manifest all of the universes, or he doesn't produce all the avatars. So the distinction between Vishnu and Shiva in that way. But then Krishna has qualities, extra qualities, qualities of sweetness, such as the sweet flute and the sweet pastimes and the sweet form and the sweet devotees. But that doesn't mean that therefore the other forms also have the same powers. No, Krishna also has more powers. So yes, Vishnu has more powers than Shiva, but Krishna has more powers than Vishnu also. So how is that? So it's explained there in the Nectar Devotion. Rupa Goswami explains that yes, though these four qualities are also there that distinguish him from Vishnu forms and Rama and Narsimhadev. Even the other aspects mentioned which distinguish Vishnu from Shiva, they take a more remarkable form in Krishna. So therefore, the universes come from the pores of Mahavishnu. So then he's very great. But then all the Vishnu forms come from Krishna. And he displayed that in the Brahma Mohana Lila. He was all the different Vishnu forms that were creators of universe, and suddenly they merged into Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is a greater creator than Mahavishnu and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shurdakshaya Vishnu. So, yes, Paramatma form has great powers that distinguish him from Shiva, but Krishna as Bhagavan manifests even greater powers than that, because he manifests all the Vishnu forms. So that is just an example of how the powers of Krishna are more. And again, the example of the how Vishnu manifests all the different avatars. So again, Krishna also manifests all of the avatars. So he can manifest all the Purusha avatars, or Paramatma forms, who create all the universes. And then the Paramatma forms are the ones that manifest all of the avatars within the material world. So then he's the final source of all the avatars, he's the final source of all the Vishnu forms, etc. So this shows the great power of Krishna, that he manifests all the other forms in the spiritual world and in the material world. So very, very, not just sweetness, but even the powers manifest more in Krishna. And therefore, he is singled out as being Bhagavan Swayam. So here the sages identify Krishna as Bhagavan. In spite of the fact they say we are a little bewildered because you act like a human being, nevertheless their understanding is that Krishna is that Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. And they also appreciate him as Paramatma, that he has got great powers. So whatever powers are in Paramatma are also in Krishna. Now, this of course, this realization, say, restricts their love, we can say, to some degree, because the greatness aspect of Krishna seems to be prominent here, where they see him as Paramatma, the creator of the universes, etc. So this lessens the sweetness aspect of Krishna to some degree. But this is also quite common when Krishna goes out of Vrindavan. So the people of Dwarka also appreciate his powerful aspect, and thus their realization is always mixed with that powerful aspect of Krishna, and thus the sweetness is a little bit less than it is in Vrindavan. He's also addressed here as Akunta Medasa, of course, means intelligence or wisdom. Akunta means unrestricted, which means he is sarvagya, all knowledgeable. So in the Vishnu Purana, where it gives a definition of Bhagavan as having Sadaishvarya, he has six qualities, such as jnana and vairagya and virya and yasa, shri. One of them is this omniscience, jnana. He knows everything about everything. That's a nature of Supreme Lord inherent in Paramatma or in Bhagavan. When we come to Krishna as Bhagavan, the devotees are not so much interested in these aspects of power, jnana, vairagya, etc., which define and separate the Lord from the jiva. They're more interested in the sweet aspects. So though that definition is very famous, Bhagavan means these qualities, those qualities also apply to Paramatma. He also has got all the powers and the virya and the yasa and the shri, etc. So there's not much distinction there between Paramatma and Bhagavan, but definitely there's a distinction from the jivas. So what about particularly Bhagavan and particularly Krishna? So therefore another definition is given of Bhagavan. Of course, one definition is simply Bhagavan. Bhaga means all good qualities, and van means possessing. So he is the person who possesses all good qualities, but that's very general. So therefore, another explanation is given. Ba stands for Bhatra, which means maintainer. So what does he maintain? He maintains the devotees. He nourishes the devotees. Krishna says, whatever you lack, I supply, etc. And he responds to them. As you offer to me, I respond to you. So he nourishes the devotees, bhakti. And ga, for gamayataha, which means literally to make go or to have them obtain. So he takes them to the spiritual world, to Vaikuntha or Goloka, and he gives them a spiritual body, etc. So in other words, he endows the jivas with a special qualities and form by which they can fulfill their desire to serve the Lord. That's a ga. And va stands for vas, which means to live. So the devotees are dwell in the Lord, which means that the Lord is always thinking of the devotees. Of course, we can also take it that the Lord dwells in the devotees as well, that the devotees are always thinking of the Lord, and the Lord is always thinking of the devotees. So yeah, it's mutual. So anyway, this definition shows the special nature of Bhagavan, his relationship with his devotees. So this is the Bhagavan. He has a particular relationship with the devotees, and he nourishes that relationship. So that is the difference between Bhagavan and Paramatma. Now, the relationship is much more intimate in realization of Bhagavan. Consequently, the bliss is more. So, of course, Bhagavan includes all of these other qualities of power and greatness, etc., automatically. So therefore, Krishna includes it, within him are all the other powers. But his special qualities are the sweetness. So that is why Rupa Goswami singles those out as special qualities. And these qualities are most prominent in Vrindavan. So these are appreciated by the devotees in Vrindavan, and to lesser extent by the people in Mathura and Dwarka. So definitely Krishna has sweet pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka, and his form is sweet, but not as sweet as the pastimes and form and qualities manifested in Vrindavan. So when we isolate these qualities of sweetness, particularly manifested in Vrindavan. So therefore, we have three Krishnas. We have the Purna Krishna in Dwarka, the Purna Tara Krishna in Mathura, and the Purna Tama Krishna in Vrindavan. So Purna Tama means the most perfect of all, the most complete, because there the sweetness manifests to the highest degree. So those four qualities manifest there much more than they manifest in other places. So particularly the Vrindavan Krishna is the outstanding form of Bhagavan Swayam. So the sages in general and others outside of Vrindavan do not, not qualified, let's say, to appreciate that pure sweetness. So that is why they mix here the Paramatma realization with the Bhagavan realization. And of course then they explain, well, why he acts like this is because he covers up his majestic aspect with his yoga maya. Whereas the people of Vrindavan would never say that. He is naturally sweet. He's not covering up anything. So, of course, Krishna does display his powers, but then he covers them up. In any case, it's a matter of perception. Both things are true. He does have all the powers. He has the sweetness. But those are qualified for seeing powers. They see the powers. Those are qualified the sweetness. See the sweetness. And consequently, they see the sweetness. Then they don't give regard for the powerful aspect of Krishna. And if they're looking at the greatness, then they give less regard for the sweetness. So here they're apologizing, oh, he actually is Supreme Lord, but he's covering it up a little bit, covering up by this sweet aspect of being like a human being. So, in this way, everybody adjusts to their particular vision of Krishna. So, of course, in general, people appreciate the great aspect of the Supreme Lord. In one sense, that is natural because we say everybody is naturally Krishna Das. We are all subordinate to him. Lord is independent. Jiva is dependent. And unless we recognize that, we cannot even do bhakti. So it is rather inherent in the practice of bhakti to regard the Lord as completely different in one sense. He is independent. We are dependent. So this gives rise to this idea of greatness. That God is the greatest, he's the most powerful, he is the omniscient one, he is the creator, he is the destroyer, etc. And some people appreciate that. They can distinguish God from the regular jiva. But then if we take the example of the people of Vrindavan, they don't appreciate that at all. Quite different. So though that this is a common realization of God, it's not the only one, and in our sampradaya we emphasize the Vrindavan Krishna, where all these powers and stuff are secondary to his sweetness. And the reason for that is the sweetness aspects give us a realization of Krishna in his very special nature with those four qualities that distinguish him from the other forms. And also the bliss that results is more intense. So there's a good reason for distinguishing Krishna from all the other forms. It produces a higher experience of bliss for the jiva. So therefore we make this distinction. Though we may approach Krishna with this idea of greatness, etc., then one may switch to or prefer to see Krishna not as God, but as a friend or lover or as a child or whatever like that in different relationships. And it looks like the idea that Krishna is different disappears. It does in a sense. But at the same time, there is no complete disappearance of this idea that Krishna is different, because Krishna remains the object of attraction. And the devotee always feels himself in a lesser position, even if it looks like he is equal or whatever. So all the cowherd boys see Krishna as their equal in one sense. At the same time, understand, he is their very life and soul. Everything depends on him. So in that sense, there is dependence. So as far as position is concerned, yes, equal. But as far as this feeling, they are completely dependent on Krishna. He's the very life. So when, for instance, Indra began to shower rain on everybody and the cows were miserable and the people were miserable, what did they do? They all ran to Krishna. What do we do, Krishna? He's their shelter. He's the solution to everything. He's the very life. Yeah? Or when Krishna was on Kaliya, and then everyone heard, oh, the snake has attacked Kaliya and put him in his coils. Then immediately everybody felt, oh, Krishna's our very life. If he dies, we die. And they all ran to Krishna and tried to save him. So definitely there's complete dependence on Krishna in any case, even in Vrindavan, even though, I say superficially, they have different types of relationships, equal, superior, etc. So that is never given up. So at all times, everyone is a servant of Krishna, everyone is humble, etc. Everybody has this idea of being the most fallen, etc. So this may be a little bit confusing because it doesn't always manifest. And therefore we say the devotee controls Krishna also. And we see that the gopis or Radharani, they try to control Krishna and they get angry at Krishna or whatever like this. So how is this possible? But at the same time, it is understood that the gopis feel the most unqualified. They have the greatest dānya. They feel the most fallen, etc., the most unqualified to approach Krishna. So that attitude is never given up in all the relationships. So that is why in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, you know, when we chant the holy name, therefore we're humbler than a blade of grass and we're taller than a tree. And we give respect to all living entities because we're in that very small position in relation to Krishna. And that never is given up within the whole process of bhakti. So we always feel ourselves that we're the recipients of the mercy of Krishna.
Maharaj, it's just the Vrajavasis, they don't recognize the Aishwarya aspect of Krishna. And in the case of Agasura's pastimes, some of the Gopas says it is just a cave or something. And somebody else says, you know, it's a snake actually. How does it matter? Krishna will take care, they get into the mouth of Agasura. By which means they appreciate the power at the same time.
Oh yeah. So they it's not that they don't see powers in Krishna, because so many times Krishna killed demons, and of course they all didn't see the demons, but the cowherd boys particularly saw a lot of Krishna killing demons, so therefore they recognize that he does have some special position. Even so, they don't take him as Supreme Lord. And definitely he has powers, but they don't see him as Supreme Lord. And if it has powers, then say, well, Vishnu gives him the powers, or Vishnu does it, or Vishnu is doing it for him, etc. The other people don't see so much killing of the demons, and they don't see how it is done also. So the Krishna kills Putana, or he Sakatasura, or Trinavarta, they never see actually Krishna doing anything, you know. Suddenly the demon falls out of the sky, suddenly Putana dies, suddenly the cart falls over, but they don't really see powers manifested in Krishna. So for them, it's more like a miracle that Vishnu is protecting him. Sometimes, of course, we see that in great distress, they all call out Krishna, Paramatma, this, that, that. So it's explained, Baladeva Vidyabhusana explains that, yes, they may have manifestations of appreciating Krishna in his powerful position, but it's not important to them, and it disappears very quickly. It's not a permanent part of their perception of Krishna. It appears and disappears again.
So can we say, Maharaj, that this aspect is mostly revealed to devotees who are in Sakya Ras, because otherwise the greatness is not even compatible with either Vatsalya or with Madhurya.
Yeah, well, we see even in Madhurya Rasa, the gopis in distress, and they call out to Paramatma, they call out Krishna, his names, etc. They do sometimes also.
You're just mentioning that the aspect is maintenance. Generally, Bhagavan, for not necessarily for devotees, for common people, he is a maintainer in general. In case of devotees, he maintains the prema of the devotees towards himself.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the way to understand?
When in Bhagavatam, the word poshana is used, that also is described with respect to devotees. But actually, he's maintaining everybody.
Well, the nature of the Lord, that he maintains everything. He's the creator and maintainer of everything, ultimately. But if you're talking about the 10 qualities of Bhagavatam, poshana, then that means how he nourishes the devotees. He doesn't abandon the devotees in the material world. And even if they're not devotees, he doesn't abandon them. So therefore, in the name, we have Krishna, and therefore Ajimil got protected from hellish punishment because he chanted the name accidentally. So that's an example of poshana, which is accidental poshana also. But the Lord helps the jivas in the material world.
Well, this the very verse in Bhagavad Gita which is quoted here, Manmanabha Vandakta, it is quoted twice in Bhagavad Gita. Any acharya saying this is the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita, Maharaj?
Well, often, yeah. Of course, the other one is Sarvadharma Pratyaja, also. Give up everything, surrender to me. That's another.
Put it twice in that sense, I'm asking, right?
Yeah, well, I think some, they say it's important, but whether it's more important than Sarvadharma Pratyaja, I don't know. Probably the Shri say Sarvadharma Pratyaja is more important. But definitely, it's pointed out, it's done twice, so therefore it's an important verse because it indicates the process of bhakti particularly, concentrating on the Lord favorably. So in that sense, it's important.
How to observe that?
What's that?
Sarvadharma and Paritya, we talk about this Manmanabha Bhakta.
Yeah, this gives more details of how we practice.
How to surrender.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said about Bhagavan, so in Sanskrit Matup Pratyaya, you have Balavan or Buddhivan, so one who possesses strength, one who possesses intelligence. But Bhagavan, you split it into like Bhaga and Va, so how to understand that? So Van is one who possesses, so like...
Yeah. Well, often words, we can analyze them a different way. Grammatically, if you have Bhaga and then Van, that's the simplest way. But then, and from that we can get qualities, six qualities, etc. But then we can analyze individual syllables, so that's sometimes done, as in the case of Mamsa. Okay, it means meat, but then Manusamhita defines it as mam and sa, he and me. So I kill him, he kills me. So you get a more poetic type of description out of that one. Or we get the word diksha, initiation. So therefore, divyaganam and papasa sangshayam, diksha. So sometimes they take the syllables of the word and analyze that to get some sort of meaning also, which is appropriate to that particular word.
In case of humility, isn't it that it naturally arises from the Aishwarya aspect of the Lord? That because we are insignificant, Lord is so great, so naturally there is a humility arises in the heart. And so my question is, so therefore Aishwarya, understanding of the Aishwarya of the Lord is necessary for developing that humility, which may further become sweet as we understand.
Yeah. Well, necessary, and that's why we have Sambandh again. Jivas defined as dependent, Ishvara is defined as independent, etc. And that we are the servant of God. So, in that sense. But we can take that a step further and then give great adoration to God. And put him in a very high position, which is quite separate from us. And when we emphasize that too much, then we end up with a very distant relationship. So that's the negative aspect of it, that it becomes a very distant relationship with God.
And Maharaj, one more thing, regarding the 55 qualities of Shiva, now we, like we say for Jivas, it is insignificant quantity. But what about those 55 qualities in Shiva? Are they to the fullest extent?
Well, for instance, he doesn't have a material body.
Okay.
He doesn't accept a material body. His body is, Satchidananda. So that's different from the Jivas who have a material body. So in other words, he's not conditioned like a Jiva. Or he has extraordinary powers that the Jivas don't have. So he assists in creating destruction of the material world, for instance. The Jivas don't do that. So he has a particular extra powers there that Jivas don't have.
But Maharaj, what about in Laghuva Bhagavatamrita, I think it's there that some Jiva, qualified Jiva also takes the post of Shiva.
Yeah, in which case they won't have those qualities because they won't, they're a Jiva, they had a material body, whereas Shiva never has a material body, so therefore it doesn't apply to them. They get some more powers and qualities, but not exactly like Shiva.
But that doesn't ever happen with Vishnu. In case of Shiva, who's not a Jiva.
Nobody becomes Vishnu. We have Shaktivesh avatars, so they get greater powers than normal Jivas also, and they also have eternal bodies, so that's a little bit different.
And how do we understand position of Ganesh, Maharaj?
It's not mentioned anywhere what category he's in.
So is he a Devata or is he...
I suppose so, that's never mentioned really.
So, Jiva basically?
I suppose so, it's not mentioned.
Maharaj, regarding this, in the beginning of the class you are saying that you are explaining a different kind of Vishnu as well as Krishna. Okay, see, all Vishnu is also a lot and Krishna is also a lot. As a sadhak, is it possible or is it okay to make distinction that, okay, this Vishnu position is low and Krishna position is high? Although there is a lot, but it will not come as an offense to make distinction between Mahavishnu, Gavishnu, Vishnu, which is their low position, Krishna is a high position.
Well, it's not, they're all one, so as long as we understand they're one, but they manifest different amounts of qualities, and therefore some people appreciate the Vishnu form, some people appreciate the Krishna form. Different qualities are manifested in those different forms, and different degrees of qualities also. So that's simply an objective analysis. We're not saying that therefore this one's inferior to that one because they're actually one. There is no inferiority because they're one entity. But definitely different qualities are manifested. That's all. So we have to also accept that.
It's not that depend on that when how much quality he display as all. When he display more quality, he is superior. When he display less quality, he is lower position.
Yeah. Like Kapila, he is Supreme Lord, but he just teaches. Uh-huh. Doesn't do anything else much. He just teaches, gives teachings to Jnana, Bhakti, Yoga, etc.
What about Dattatreya?
Also teaching.
Teacher, that's all.
Yeah.
And what about Maharaja regarding
Yuga avatars? They just teach, basically.
Normally, in these Brajavasis, they are not aware that much about Krishna's supreme position as a supreme lord. What about Srimati Radharani? Does she aware that Krishna is a supreme lord?
Well, generally not. As I said, sometimes the gopis also say Paramatma when they're in distress, but then they forget about it.
So that means Srimati Radharani also doesn't know that Krishna is a supreme lord. Srimati Radharani also doesn't know that Krishna is a supreme lord.
In general, no.
Good morning, Guruji. I want to ask you one question. Hare Krishna. I have seen my 3 times Jiva Samadhi because of Krishna. It is a fact. It is going to happen. He is calling me regularly. Become a Jiva Samadhi.
Jiva Samadhi. Jiva Samadhi is you put yourself in a tomb and you die. Isn't it? Like Raghavendra, that's a Jiva Samadhi. That's different.
Actually, become a Raghavendra Swami girl, no?
Yeah, but then you have to go to, then you have to go to the tomb and disappear. And then you won't see you anymore.
I've seen 18 times my death.
Oh, I see.
My life.
Maybe. Near death.
Near Mahavishnu.
I see.
That's right.
Oh. Maharaj,
okay. Thank you.
Oh, Maharaj, we see that, you know, this Yogamaya Achannam, this translated as an internal illusory energy. Why do we say that internal energy is illusory?
Huh?
Why do we say internal?
Well, Yogamaya covers up certain aspects.
But it cannot.
So you cannot see Krishna as supreme or something like that. Or the people in Vrindavan, they cannot see certain aspects that other people see, other devotees in Vrindavan see, for instance. So in that sense, it's illusory.